Hey, Smetters.
Hey, everybody. Why do you laugh every time I say something?
Because.
You're so weird.
What?
I hope everybody out there is having a great Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day.
And I saw this on several social media posts, but what was it is, I love the fact that everybody's tagging their moms for Mother's Day. And I hope all the hot ones know how to realize you're getting tagged or something like that.
No, know how to read their DMs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
That was pretty clever. I liked that.
Yeah, I like that too. I put on our story a little happy dance to my mom since we don't have any money to get her anything.
We're going to open, like, I think we need to do like a Cash App and start begging people who listen to us to send us money. Because I'm tired of being poor.
All right. Well, do you have a good week?
Yeah, it hasn't been bad. Yours?
It's been all right. I mean...
Oh, so how cool is it that... Well, I say it's cool, but I haven't seen it because I've been asleep each time. But guys, we are in Tennessee. Okay? Very south. I'm sure you can understand that from our accents. But supposedly the Northern Lights are out there. And it's been able to be seen for the past two nights and possibly again tonight. I, however, have fallen asleep each night and not been able to see it, except for the thousands of social media posts about it. But how cool is that? And you guys think it's real? Like, I saw a conspiracy about it being like something else.
Yeah, Okay, let me start this over. So, I had forgotten about it the first night, and then they're like, oh, but guess what? You can probably see it again, you know, the night after.
Like, is the government shining rays everywhere?
I don't know. But, like, I ran outside when it was supposed to, when you were supposed to be able to see it, and I didn't see anything. So, I don't know. It made me think, we did a story about the holograms. Remember that the government would do a big hologram or whatever?
Yeah.
And how in...
The big hologram, yeah.
How in other countries they were doing like dragon holograms and just stuff like that. So it kind of made me think of that, like they're practicing, like test runs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I don't know for sure what's going on anymore. I'm scared to ask. Like... I don't know. Just like today on social media, people were like, what do you guys think about this portal from New York to this other country? And it's just a damn FaceTime in a circle.
I showed that to you. It was so funny because, like, humans can't have nice things because we will fuck it up in a second. Like, it showed this portal and it showed it was from Dublin to New York.
But they were saying it was a portal and it was not a portal. It was a webcam.
It was literally a webcam.
A giant webcam.
Yeah. And it was still pretty neat because people were like coming up to it and waving. And then other people were like in New York waving to the people in Dublin. And then somebody gets on their phone and types wankers in and puts it in front of the camera.
I thought that was hilarious.
We can't have nice things.
I mean, seriously, I thought that was funny as hell.
Which it is hilarious, but like,
Probably get on there and be like, guys, did you watch South Park? Carmen Bro!
It's just, that's been humans from the beginning. You know, in like hieroglyphics, they found a random hieroglyphic somewhere that was like thousands of years old and it said penis.
What about Pompeii, where the dude was finishing before he...
Like, seriously, what is wrong with us?
If you're going to go out with a smile, I guess.
Humans are such garbage, I swear. But it's so funny that nothing has changed for thousands of years with the way we think, you know?
Yeah.
So it just really made me laugh. I was like, we cannot have nice things at all. We'll just learn how to mess it up somehow. That's probably why the aliens will not come visit us.
Well, they probably did and left.
Yeah, they're like, never mind. So
that's why you don't really see them anymore. Like, all the pictures are old.
Well, literally, like, half the alien stories we do were like alien boners. Like, we just ruin things. So, tonight's story. I've had such a time with tonight's story.
You had a time, dear.
I had a time. I could not figure out what I wanted to do. And I had several ideas, and I'd start to look into them, and I just kind of... Well, that would
South
be
Park.
Fun. No. I would get kind of bored with them. And then I got to thinking, it's about to be summertime.
Is it not the funniest thing ever, though, to be watching South Park and literally hear Cartman say, "You motherfucker." I laugh. Like, it gets me every time. Like, I don't know. The show is like hundreds of years old, but I still laugh every time.
Yeah, South Park is hilarious. But that's what show is on repeat right now. And we just watched the first episode of Interview with the Vampire Season 2.
That was pretty good.
So freaking good. Y'all, if y'all are Anne Rice fans and love the Interview with the Vampire series, watch that show.
It's on AMC.
Yeah, on AMC. The first season, absolutely wonderful. I didn't think I'd like it because they did it totally different.
Do you think Mayfair Witches is coming back?
Yeah, Mayfair Witches will come back for sure. So
it's one of my favorites.
Is it?
Has great assets.
Yes, it does. But yeah, I'm very excited about Interview with the Vampire. It's going to be really good. So anyway, tonight's episode, like I was saying, it's about to be summertime. So I got to thinking, why don't we do Tales from the Deep Blue Sea?
Huh. Okay.
Like sea monsters.
Like Titanic ghosts?
No, we're going to do sea monsters.
You're a sea monster.
Do you have a sea monster?
You're dirty.
You're dirty. And pirate tales and stuff. I thought it'd be really fun. So it's not going to be like super scary. It's going to be more of a fun episode tonight. And then I just thought last week was just, it was so like a big deep dive. I was like, let's just do something fun tonight. We'll get into something super scary next week.
Well, the ocean is very scary.
Well,
where we go diving, but
yeah, we love the ocean. In case you guys don't know, we are both certified in scuba diving, and you guys, the ocean
diving is super easy for me.
I love diving.
Well, it's easy for me because I'm a mouth breather, anyways.
Yeah. So. We like when we go diving, we tend to just kind of do our own thing under there. It's such a different world.
Yeah, we don't stay with the people.
Yeah, which that's something you don't aren't supposed to do.
But I'm always looking for buried treasure.
Yeah, Troy, every time we go diving, I'll turn around and he's got something new in his hand.
I'm looking for that Rolex.
But I tend to follow the sea life, and Troy is digging in the sand looking for treasure. It's a totally different world. It's almost like you're not on Earth anymore. It's very cool because it's something you don't normally see, and you're just floating underwater.
But also, we have to take it a step up. We're also shark divers.
We are shark divers. We have dove with sharks before. And
several times.
And you guys, when you hear that, you think that's so scary. But once you get under there and you see them in their natural habitat and just how beautiful they are, sharks are amazing. When we went diving one time, I got slapped in the face. Yep. They were doing a feeding frenzy, and the shark fin slapped me
she
in the
got
face.
Smart with it.
I got smart, and it got mad. But no, it was exciting because it was feeding, and
I've got it all on my GoPro too.
It got me in the face, and Troy and the other diver that was with us was like, "Oh my god, she's about to freak out!" And I was like, "That was fucking awesome, y'all! Shark just hit me in the face." But no, it was very cool. We got to pet the sharks. Actually, they put them in that little trance thing that they do by touching their nose and stuff in their belly, and we got to pet it.
I thought
you were about to say touching their no-nose. By touching their no-nose. It's very cool. And also, if you don't know, when sharks feed, they lose their teeth. So we got to take several shark teeth home with us as well. It's very awesome. Once in a lifetime thing. And we are ready to do the cage diving in Africa.
I would much rather do the cage diving in California. Africa still scares me. But however, I do have to give a shout out. If you guys ever do travel to the Bahamas, make sure you check out Stewart Cove.
Yes.
They are literally the best diving place I've ever been to, ever thought of. Like, they do it all for you. Like, even if you're too skittish to go diving, they do have those little
snuba.
Yeah, little tube things you can use to kind of see underneath. So it's really cool. Definitely check it out. Stuart Cove, if you're listening, we love you.
Yes, we absolutely adore Stuart Cove. We've been there multiple times, and they have always just been fantastic with us. Still want to get one of those Stuart Cove hot pink staff shirts if y'all are listening. But yes, we absolutely love that place, and the Bahamas is like a home away from home for us. We know those waters.
We went diving with the pigs. We did a lot of stuff in the Bahamas.
Yeah, we
did all the tourist stuff, and then we found like other things to do, and it's really cool.
Yeah, so if you ever get that chance, that's one of our favorite places in the world is the Bahamas, mainly because the diving is just absolutely beautiful.
I've got 600 pictures of a sunken plane. I'm like, holy shit, look at this. I just kept taking pictures after pictures. You remember that?
Yes. I got, fun fact, y'all, some of the fish actually have teeth. I got bit by one. We took fruit under there to feed the fish when we went diving one time, and it bit the shit out of me. But
remember Jamaica, the homemade lobster traps?
I hated that. I wanted to let the lobsters out. I hated it so much. But I did not. I did not touch their traps. Anyway, that was a little glimpse into our life. If we have any divers out there, y'all know what we're talking about. So, let's dive on in.
Dive on.
To the tales of the deep blue sea.
Ooh, with LL Cool J.
I love that movie so much. Deep Blue Sea, y'all. Throwback. It's an old movie, but y'all must watch it. It has been said that no group of working men harbor as many superstitions within its collective breast as sailors do. And well, this should be because no body of workers endures such dangerous conditions of employment as those mariners who ply the seven seas to make their living. In this piece, I've gathered a few pearls from the deep. Here, you'll find some interesting superstitions, legends of beasties and ghost ships, ending with one full-length tale of pirate horror. Oh, my goodness. So, let's go ahead and start. We'll start off with some of the sailor superstitions. Have you heard of any of their superstitions?
Just about the sirens.
Okay. Well, one of their superstitions is whistling.
Sirens?
No, just like actually whistling on a ship. It's felt that whistling aboard the ship amounted to a challenge to the winds themselves, and it would summon a storm. So when they get on the ships, they do not whistle.
Hmm.
Which, you know, I could get with that. Killing an albatross, you know, the birds.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad luck to kill an albatross because they believe that there were spirits of loved ones lost at sea. So that's a big no-no. When you launch a ship, in earlier times when a ship was launched, she was splashed with human blood as a tribute to the god of the seas. Nowadays, though, we use wine or champagne. Often the vessel is given a female name in token of its becoming a bride to Poseidon or Neptune. This being the reason that ships are referred to as she or her. The ship's pronouns are she and her. Okay. Cats and women.
Ooh.
Ooh. Cats are welcome aboard a ship.
What about
dogs? It doesn't say anything about dogs, but look at the little hammock. Women are not. On the other hand, pregnant women are not considered to be unlucky, probably because their conditions renders them less of a temptation to mariners. So they do like cats and stuff. Now, a lot of sailors have a bunch of tattoos that are related to the ship. Like, if they have crossed anchors, it's placed on the webbing between the thumb and index fingers. And it's, what's that say? Marked a Botswana mate, I think is what it says. A hula girl is a sailor who's been to Hawaii. Just stuff like that. It's pretty neat. I've got a whole thing. I can post this so you can see like what their tattoos mean and stuff. If you light a cigarette off of a candle, it will kill a sailor.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let's see.
Never heard that one.
I know. Let's jump into the Kraken.
AKA Jim.
Oh, okay. Hello, Beastie. Below the thunders of the upper deep, far, far beneath in the abysmal sea, his ancient, dreamless, uninvaded sleep, the Kraken sleepeth. Faintest sunlights flee about his shadowy sides. Above him swell huge sponges of millennial growth and height, and far away into the sickly light. For many a wondrous grot and secret cell, unnumbered and enormous polypi, winnow with giant arms the slumbering green. There hath he lain for ages, and will lie, battening upon huge sea worms in his sleep, until the latter fire shall heat the deep. Then once by man and angels to be seen, and roaring he shall rise, and on the surface die. And that was Alfred Lord Tennyson. The creatures referred to as sea serpents. Let me see. Hang on. Okay. The mariners of yesteryears believed that monsters and serpents of prodigious size lurked in the gloomy depths of the world's ocean. They marked their maps and charts, then they'd put, here be monsters. And above this summering warning would appear a creature drawn by an enthusiastic and imaginative artist that might have been more at home in one of the circles of Dante's Inferno. The creatures referred to as sea serpents have figured prominently in myth and legend for millennia. One early example is the enormous whoremonger of Norse mythology that was thought to encircle the world. Serpents sighted at sea and seemingly authentic reports have been tentatively identified as real animals, such as oarfish, which can grow up to 36 feet in length. Cryptozoologists, on the other hand, have suggested that relic marine reptiles may be responsible for many such reports. Sometimes an explanation for the previously inexplicable is eventually found. In one such case, the famous Kraken monster of the Norwegian waters, known to seafarers of old and feared by them for hundreds of years for its size and alleged ferocity, was almost certainly Architeuthis, a species of giant squid. But for some other apparitions at sea, there is still no explanation other than the accumulated experience and wisdom of the ancient mariner who, asserting that he has seen, for example, a sea serpent in full flight, that has seen it, and that's that. So basically, the Kraken turned out to be a giant squid. So it was a thing. It was just gigantic.
Yeah, there's still all kind of talks about giant squids and stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure. Then we have mermaids, the half-human, half-fish, known as mermaids, and their male counterparts, mermen. Mermen.
Are you serious? Come on now. You have to ruin everything.
Sorry. We're also thought to inhabit the sea. Similar beings include...
How do mermen and mermaids get it on?
I don't know. I think they got special little fish parts.
I don't... Where?
Maybe it's their elbows.
It's like that Family Guy episode. I can't do anything. Fish head.
The first merman in recorded in recorded history is the sea god Yah of the early Babylonians. Yeah. It is Tuberosus, a Calydian priest of about 200 BC, that we owe a detailed account of Oannes. However, the main attributes we think of regarding mermaids today, that of enticement and a gift of fatal song, derive from Homer's famous descriptions of the sirens who attempted upon Odysseus. With one major difference, the early Greeks portrayed the sirens as women with bird bodies.
That's weird.
Right? That's so weird. Let's see here. This is my favorite one.
This is my jam.
I'm obsessed with this one.
Is it sirens?
No.
Okay.
You can probably guess what it is.
No.
The Flying Dutchman.
I sent you that earlier.
I love the Flying Dutchman. One of the more enduring examples of nautical folklore involves ghost ships manned by ghostly crews, the sighting of which is traditionally regarded as an omen of doom. Stories of phantom ships have been told since humanity first took to sea, but it is in the story of Captain Vander Decken and the Flying Dutchman, however, that we find the best known form of the legend. Some researchers state that the legend of the Flying Dutchman was fabricated by the British to expose Dutch morals as evil and godforsaken as a retaliation against the Dutch East India Company. During the 17th and 18th centuries, the British and the Dutch competed fiercely on the high seas, a situation that led to three Dutch-British wars in the course of the 17th century. Now, there are versions of the Flying Dutchman legend in French, English, and German, all with slightly different details.
You say virgins?
Versions.
Oh.
Like different tops. The legend can be traced back to the 17th century, but the fullest version of the legend that we know today is based on 19th century literature. It is said that the legend of the Flying Dutchman might have been based on a real person, Captain Baron Falk. He captained the fastest of the VOC ships.
Falk.
And one day never returned from a voyage. Ships of the VOC had to take a specific route from Amsterdam to Batavia and back. In case they were damaged out at sea, the chances they would encounter another ship were best on this route. It was called the Safe Track. Falk, I can't say that without laughing, sometimes known as Bryn Foxes, of the swift armed merchant ship De Kroonvogel, did not care for safe tracks. To shorten his trip, he often left the track. While it took slow and heavy VOC ships 8 to 12 months to complete a journey, Baron could do it in 6 months. Still, he felt the trip was taking too long, but he realized the only way he could sail faster would be with the aid of the devil. Then one night, the devil became his guest out at sea, west of the Cape of Good Hope. At night, a small sloop approached De Kroonvogel, and a gentleman, all dressed in black, came aboard. Slowly, the door of his cabin opened, and the devil entered. "You called me, Fox." "Yes. I wanted to make even shorter journeys." "Then you will always have to sail with full sails." "And what if the rigging goes overboard in a storm?" he asked. "Fasten the ropes and wires with iron bars so that the yard can't go overboard. Hollow out your masts and fill them with liquid lead, and they can't break anymore," the devil replied. "Then the ship becomes too heavy." "Way too heavy," Baron said. "Oh no, with my help, you will sail over reefs and rocks, over shallow water and sandbanks, be it with headwind or no wind at all. De Kroonvogel will always have full sails. For centuries, the seamen will speak of your ship."
Really? Really? You are a child.
"They will call it the Flying Dutchman."
Flying seamen.
The Flying Seamen. After 7 years, the contract came to an end and the whole ship was taken over by the devil. Now, the Flying Dutchman is sailing the seven seas for eternity without ever entering a harbor. The ship is always sailing with full sails, be it with or against the wind. The devil said, "From this moment on, you are cursed. You are sentenced to sail forever without rest or anchorage. You will taste neither beer nor tobacco. Your drink will be bitter water and your food red hot iron. Only a cabin boy will remain of your crew. Horns will grow from his forehead and he will have a tiger's face and skin rougher than a dogfish. You will always be on duty and will never be able to sleep. You shall torment seamen until the end of time. You will become the evil spirit of the sea."
You are a child.
"You will travel all oceans without stopping or resting, and your ship will bring bad luck to all who see it. And on the day of judgment, I will claim your soul." Now, the appearance of the black ship is an omen of storm and destruction for the ships it encounters. In the evenings, many ships have been hailed by the Flying Dutchman, and one can clearly see the figure of the captain on the bridge. He has become very, very old now, and in his feeble, bony hand, he holds a letter with black wax seals, which he wants to give to the captain of the ship he is hailing. It is a letter for the Lords 17, the director of the VOC in Amsterdam. However, no one has ever dared to accept the letter. So, that is the Flying Dutchman. And also, you guys, if you go online and you look up pictures of the Flying Dutchman.
Don't look up semen.
Don't look up semen. You can see some pictures that people have taken of the Flying Dutchman. It's actually pretty neat. It's very cool. I'll try to find one and post it on Instagram. So, stop laughing.
You're the one who laughed, you child.
Now, let's go to the legend of Dahul.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is a very long story.
Ugh.
Let's not do that one.
Okay.
Because I read it earlier and I didn't really get it. So I have other shorter stories we can read. Okay. This one I liked because it was a pirate telling it.
Arr, matey.
Okay. So, it doesn't say who wrote this story, but the question was, anyone got any sea creature stories that are true? And this pirate spoke up. I get to speak pirate.
Oh, okay. This should be fun.
Ready? Aye, laddie. Take seat on me lap, and I'll tell you a story about me time on the high seas. Don't laugh. You're going to make me laugh.
Go for it.
Okay. When I, as a much younger and able fellow, I served as a boatswain's mate on the HMS Queen's Fury. I added that part. We were sailing from England to a port located in the Caribbean. 'Twas one dark night on the Atlantic Ocean, I tell you.
Tell me.
A dark. So dark you can touch it. I was on the quarter deck just behind the bowsprit on the starboard side of the vessel when I heard a scream. The scream that did not come from our ship. A scream in the darkness. Me stomach dropped to the floor and me blood went colder than an elderly whore's heart. The scream sounded like that of a woman being set ablaze by 1,000 fires. But I knew it was not a woman, nor human. The scream was inhuman. A screech from something that lurks in the thick darkness I spoke of. It was then that I felt something gargantuan slam into the starboard side of the vessel with such force it knocked me on me arse. I quickly got up and rang the bell. Beat to quarters, I shouted, and the men got squared away. One man fired his gun into the darkness out of terror, I guess. For a brief moment, the gunpowder lit up the area like a lantern, and we all saw the creature. It was unlike any creature that exists. The beast was pale like a ghost. It was the size of a hippopotamus. Its mouth was in a perpetual scream, and its giant teeth were sticking out. With its claws, it held onto the ship. It had eyes, and it looked into ours. It was trying to breach the ship with its giant mouth and razor claws. We all started shooting in the darkness, hoping to kill the wretched beast that clung to the side of me ship, as if trying to get inside and devour us all. The beast let out an angry scream and fell into the water, disappearing into the abyss from whence it came. We repaired the ship, and the captain wrote the incident down in the ship's log. Anyway, maybe that's why there are reports of ships with the crew missing like ghost ships. They encountered something on the sea, in the darkness. I can still hear the scream in me sleep. You remember when we went to the Pirate Museum?
Mm-hmm.
That was so much fun. I had the best time.
Also in the Bahamas, y'all.
Also in the Bahamas, they have this huge pirate museum. And it was on Valentine's Day. We were supposed to go home, but
we got snowed in.
Yeah, it was snowing so bad. The planes couldn't take off. Not in the Bahamas, but where we were going, like the planes were grounded. So we got to stay an extra night in the Bahamas. So we took. I know. I was like, shit, that sucks. So it was Valentine's Day, and we got to go to the Pirate Museum. So fun.
Yep.
Arr.
And Senor Frogs.
And Senor Frogs. Do you remember after Senor Frogs?
Yes.
We love the Bahamas. Okay. Next story. Now, this one is very cool. It's called The Most Compelling Sea Monster Story I've Ever Heard, The Alvin Submersible Sighting. And this is kind of a famous story, you guys. So, let's do this. I'm going to be honest and say that I'm not a big believer in most of the cryptids that get mentioned. I try as hard as I can to maintain a skeptical mindset when studying these kind of cases, because while I want very much to believe in fantastical species that we haven't discovered yet, the evidence, whether anecdotal or physical, has to be there. The cases that are truly worth studying are the unknowns, the ones that withstand scrutiny and still have no rational explanation made by credible witnesses who never sought to profit off their experience. That's why the underwater sighting of American Navy officer Captain Marvin McCamus, while accompanied by Captain Bill Rainey, stands out. Both were in the famous deep sea submersible Alvin on July 1965, sent down to check on the listening array Artemis. They were in a very deep area in the Bahamas known as the Tongue of the Ocean. According to McCamus, the submersible was already about 5,000 feet underwater when they ascended another 90 meters in front of it, following a cable that spanned a crevice. Noticing movement, McCamus first thought that the sub was drifting along the cable, but realized that it was the object that was moving. Swinging around the submersible in an arc, he observed what he first thought was a utility pole. In Charles Berlitz's Without a Trace, an overall collection of strange encounters of the Bermuda Triangle area, he describes his encounter, which visually sounds like a plesiosaur, an extinct marine reptile commonly used as an explanation for sea monster sightings.
It was probably a whale's penis.
Oh my goodness. You were obsessed with the plesiosaur being a whale's penis. Quote, I was astonished to see a thick body with flippers, a long neck, a snake-like head with two eyes looking right at us.
See?
It looked like a big lizard with flippers.
See?
Whale penises don't have eyes. They don't have their own flippers.
Willie.
Oh my goodness. Where was I? It looked like a big lizard with flippers. It had two sets of them. Then it swam upwards with its back turned before we could get the cameras angled. They were set to photograph 15 to 25 feet in front of the submarine, and the thing had already swum out of the camera angle but was still around. The shock of his encounter compelled McCamus to return to the surface, where, with a lack of proof for his sighting, he was laughed off the deck by the other officers. He entered the sighting in the wet log, but he believed it had been deleted by the Navy and thus did not appear in the final log. McCamus claimed that in 300 to 400 undersea dives, he had never seen anything similar. McCamus, who died in 2004 and is thus sadly unavailable for further interviews, was a highly respected and decorated officer in the Navy. He received Meritorious Service Award in 1966 for recovering a hydrogen bomb lost in the Mediterranean. From 1966 to 1977, he held the position of research associate in the Navy. Adding to his credibility is the fact that he also wrote several scientific publications. He also worked with Bob Ballard, a professor of oceanography who worked with National Geographic and discovered the Titanic in 1985. Bill.
That was James Cameron.
Oh, that was later. Bill Rainey, McCamus' companion, was similarly respected Navy officer and just as experienced as McCamus in deep sea diving. He was also a recipient of the Meritorious Service Award, and sadly, he passed away in 1985. Charles Berlitz's book, while it does at least make some attempt of skepticism when going over cases, is still easily comparable to many less credible pulpier publications, so I felt the need to find McCamus' encounter mentioned somewhere else. I talked to respected cryptozoologist Scott Martis, who communicated with McCamus over a phone call sometime in the late 90s and confirmed that the sighting had taken place. McCamus only had one correction to make, that Berlitz had incorrectly placed the date on the encounter at 1969 as opposed to 1965. Martis also mentioned to me that he had sent McCamus illustrations of plesiosaurs, as well as a popular depiction of the Loch Ness Monster. McCamus stated that they looked similar to the creature he had seen. I find this case much more credible than most for many reasons beside the witness. Most sightings used to bolster the prehistoric survivor involve a head or a few humps. There are very few sea monster sightings that describe seeing the entire body of the animal, making it easier to write them off as a misidentification of animals known to science, like seals swimming in a path or an oarfish. This is the only underwater sighting of a plesiosaur-like animal I've heard of. Not only that, but we are still discovering large animals over 20 feet in the ocean, such as the beaked whale. Beaked whales are the deepest diving mammal known to science.
Megalodons.
They can dive 3,000 meters. The fact that they are regular deep divers mean that some species have only been observed once or twice, and often only washed up bodies, despite their size. A darker variant of Baird's beak whale was classified as a new species as recently as 2016, and it was only known from a couple bodies and whaling museum records. The species is still over 20 feet long. While this animal already belongs to a known extant group, it still lends much credibility to the plesiosaur hypothesis. Plesiosaur fossils have also been observed with the effects of decompression syndrome, indicating that they may have undergone repetitive and prolonged dives. So, looking at their bones is basically showing that they are made to do deep dives, the plesiosaur. So, the Mariana Trench, for example, I don't think hardly anybody's been to the bottom of that.
No, I don't think so
either. So, could it be possible? I mean, megalodons, even. There's been several sightings of gigantic...
I think there's a lot of stuff that we're not told or even want to mention, so there's no telling. Just like, guys, I'm throwing a curveball here. The moon landing was faked. So, anyway, continuing on.
Oh, my goodness. Who are you right now? Also, if you do not know, we have only studied 20% of the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It covers 80% of the world.
And I want to continue to dive in the Bahamas and the Spice Routes, because you know there's some damn buried treasure out there. Damn, Paul Walker and Jessica Alba proved that shit.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
I know.
What is it? Into the Deep or something? Into the Blue.
Into the Deep. That's like going on a date with Kim Kardashian.
Semen.
Wow.
Okay, so
speaking of, time out.
What?
How about the roast of Tom Brady?
I was dead. And oh my god!
How Netflix is now? Like, we watched it pretty much live before they had a chance to edit it. But Kim Kardashian stands up and she's getting booed like crazy, and then now Netflix takes that out.
See, I don't get it. I don't understand why she was there, for starters.
I don't understand why she's famous.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to be a hater. I'm not. I mean, she's done it. She's, however she got famous, whatever.
Sex
tape. I guess. But, I mean, I guess she's living her life. I don't want to be awful. She's definitely not my favorite. But, I mean, I did think it was funny when they beat her. I started laughing. Hilarious. Yeah. Okay. So, let's see here. Paleontologists do believe that some species were deep divers. They do not agree how deep. The coldness of the deeper ocean layers is also not an issue, because plesiosaurs are now believed to be endothermic. So, basically saying that the cold did not bother them. The fact that some plesiosaurs had expanded eye sockets is also worth noting. Finally, a possible explanation for why a surviving population of plesiosaurs would not be seen at the surface was provided by Scott Martis. They have evolved Chloe called breathing, which allows them to breathe underwater by filtering water through air bladders in their cloaca. What's a cloaca? Some deep diving turtles, such as the spiny soft-shell turtle today, have this ability and allows them to stay underwater for up to 3 days.
Damn.
Anyway, what's your thought? Do you think that he could have...
A whale penis.
A whale penis? Oh. I think... I mean, you know how I am. I'm a dinosaur fanatic, and I love the plesiosaur. Ever since I was little, I thought I was the only one that figured out Loch Ness, and my goal in life was to go tell the scientists that it was a plesiosaur, but I was like 8. So that didn't really work out. It never happened. So scientists, if you're listening, it's a plesiosaur. There, I did it.
Like all scientists, you want someone to hear that?
Yes, all scientists. The most scientists.
Fuck you, science.
Fuck you, science. all right. Let's see here. One last story.
How long is it?
It's not long. Did you want me to read more?
No, I'm just wondering.
Okay. I encountered sirens at sea last year. Yes.
Also in Vampire Diaries.
Oh yeah, the sirens and Vampire Diaries, and we had talked about that that video that we saw about the guy on the ship that heard the sirens in the water.
I would like to see the sirens from Vampire Diaries.
Okay, this was around a year ago in July 2018.
That I just thought of, not you.
I thought of that, y'all. He just takes credit.
I'll kill you.
I was on a trip to India with some of my friends and semen. We were on we were on this rented yacht in the Arabian Sea, Indian Ocean for the night. A lot of us were drunk as hell, except for me. I'd stayed away from the right. I don't believe you.
Everybody was having orgies and they're everything, having, and I was just writing about it.
They were having so much fun, but I went to my room and went to bed. Anyway, except for me,
a big nerd.
Nerd, I'd stayed away from the bottles that day because I bet a friend. He bet me $20 that I couldn't go 2 vacation days without drinking or smoking. That's a dick friend right there. You're on vacation, but I bet you can't do it. I'd be like, I bet I can't either. Let's go. You know, let's see, without drinking or smoking. Early on in the night, some of my more intoxicated friends decided to look out at the vast sea and yelled excitedly that they'd seen mermaids around us, which turned out to be dugongs, whale penises, marine mammals commonly mistaken for mermaids. Okay, that's whatever. This was around 11:30 to 12 at night, and I helped get them back inside with the others. The party died down by around 2 or 3, and I decided to enjoy the view of the sea with a good old late snack, a pack of barbecue Lay's chips. That's what I'm talking about. No, I'm just kidding. I was about halfway through the pack when I noticed these strange human-like figures coming up out of the water, and I, assuming they were actually mermaids seen by my drunk friends, decided to get a closer look. They formed what I think was a circle around the boat and drew closer. Now I could tell that they had long, dark hair. It was a moonlit night. And that they had grayish, white faces. They did not rise very far above the water, and I could only see their shoulders at most. I was still assuming they were somewhat ugly mermaids. Damn. Ugly mermaids in poor lighting, and tried to wave at them, at which they all stared at me. They began to emit what I now feel was the most ghastly wailing I'd ever heard. So first off, he's going to say they're ugly and poor lighting, and then they start trying to sing, and he's like, that's the most ghastly wailing I've ever heard. They're going to kill you.
No kidding.
It was oddly mesmerizing as I inched closer to the railing. I felt a strong urge to join them in the water, but I started to back away when I saw their eyes. They had no irises or any white, but just plain black. Their mouths seemed to grow in size, and that was when my eyes convinced my ears not to give in. I dropped my chips and pulled away from the railing and fought my urges to jump over. I ran inside, shutting the door behind me and falling to the ground. Everyone else was asleep, and the wailing just stopped abruptly. I was far too afraid to go outside at this point, so I decided to lose the bet and have a fairly good amount of Henny and rum, plus half a blunt that my friends had left. I passed out, and the next morning, no one was missing. So that was good. No one believed me, though, and we had to head back to the hotel in the afternoon. Edit. There was light from the yacht, too. It wasn't pitch black in there, which I forgot to mention. So yes, I'm sure I got a fairly good look at their faces. And even if you're right about me not being able to see them, hallucinating their appearance, I'm definitely sure the wailing was real. Well, that was it.
Wow.
You know, the black eyes, though, we watched that. I don't know if anybody else watched this, but it was fascinating. It was the fake documentary, the fomentary, I guess is what they call it, about mermaids. Do you remember that? Me and the kids stayed up and watched it. I think he went to bed. But it was on Animal Planet, and it was the mermaids documentary. But the thing was, like, we were, the kids and I were, like, glued to the TV. We're like, this is crazy. But something that made sense, even though it wasn't real, was that they started out as a tribe. And there are actually, in real life, tribes, their eyes, their main source is fishing. They're, you know, like fishing in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And what they would do is dive underwater and do it that way, like spearfishing or whatever. Well, over time, their eyes mutated. And this tribe, their eyes, they can open and see clearly underwater. The salt water doesn't bother them. So I think that is fascinating. So going back to how he said that their eyes were pitch black, I'm betting that that was a mutation from probably thousands of years ago. You know, maybe at one time they had normal eyes, but from being underwater and the lights and, you know, adjusting and everything, I guarantee you that's why they had black eyes. That's the one thing that stuck with me from that mermaid thing about that tribe, and that part was true. Believe me, I looked it up because I was just fascinated that the fact of, you know, it can mutate like that. It adjusted to its surroundings, and, you know, that was that tribe's thing. So, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, what if somebody lived in water their whole life? Would they start to...
Yeah, you adapt.
I mean, you'd adapt. Would they start to eventually get gills, do you think? I mean,
I would think so. I think you adapt to, like, your surroundings.
Yeah, for sure. So, that really... Which, this is totally off topic, but I saw something the other day. It was, like, dogs from 100 years ago versus dogs now. And it showed, like, the same breed or whatever, and it looked to me like all the breeds they showed 100 years ago got shorter. Like, they're not as big as they used to be. And it was really neat. So, absolutely, I definitely believe, like you said, we will adapt to pretty much anything that happens. So, I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
Science. Science. Arr! Okay, well, that is all the stories I have. Did you like any of the stories that we did?
Yeah, I liked them all.
You did?
You did a great job, except you can't laugh without saying semen because you're five.
Semen. All right, you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. This was just a fun episode for us to do. Our favorite place is around the beach in the ocean. So I got a whiff of coconut today, guys, and I was just like, ugh.
If you guys want some shark diving pictures from the two of us, let us know. I'll be more than happy to post them. I actually have a couple on my personal Instagram page.
What is your personal Instagram page?
I'm not telling you. I don't need any lady stalkers.
That is true. I'll find you. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you got a few laughs out of it. And we will be back with something super scary next week. If you have any ideas, let us know. Send us a message. We're always on Instagram. So just send us a DM and we will see what we can do.
Till next time.
Drink lots of water and put some sunscreen on, y'all. It's getting warm outside. I'm kind of excited about it.
Yep.
Make
good choices.
Beat
you to it.
Yeah, you did. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.